God bless you and greetings to all of you in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. This is Sangat Bains. I'll be the teacher for this class on tithe offering, cheerful giving, and proper utilization. And we are going to spend next several hours going to God's Word and learn God's heart regarding this subject. And you are going to be using this syllabus, and we will go along with the syllabus. Now, at the introduction, you go to the introduction section, and I say thank you for taking the time to participate in this study on tithe offering, cheerful giving, and proper utilization. That is the heart of giving, biblical finance. This seminar is not intended to be an exhaustive study on subjects such as tithe offerings and other forms of free will giving. That is an incredible voluminous topic with many side topics. The intent of this study is to observe how over time God financed the activity of His people. In the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, this is clear since all roads stopped at the temple. That is to God and to support His ministers and the needy ones in both dispensations, administrations. The study of this subject from the New Testament gives added light and the new light, the right doctrine for honoring God with substance and money. The purpose of this study also is to assist anyone who desires to live a more abundant life by properly utilizing the truth of God's Word as regards the tithe, offering, and cheerful giving. This is accomplished by first acquainting one with the truth regarding tithing, offering, and cheerful and liberal giving, initially from the Old Testament, since it provides the basis for the present administration, and then from the New Testament. This is accomplished by first, okay, so that's what it is, alright? Then, by helping, we will help you to acquire an understanding of these truths from God's Word, so that you may be able to carry out God's instruction with faith and love, so that you may practically experience God's abundance in your life. God's ministers and the church may have abundance to carry out good works, and the financial and material needs of individuals in the church may be met by the church of God. The ultimate goal of this study is to enable the believer, enable you, born-again believer, of God, who is filled with God's Spirit, to understand God's goodness so that in response, I, may love and worship God our Father, who accomplished all things for us through Jesus Christ our Lord. And first, we will look at the truth regarding the heart of giving demonstrated by David. And I just hyphenated here, following the money trail. And at the beginning of this study of tithe offering and cheerful giving and proper utilization, I would like to go over this 1 Chronicles 29 chapter. And verse 1 to 21, I'm going to read. And we will look at the heart of giving of a man who is, God says that he is man after God's own heart. And from verse 1, furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, this is when David was preparing to build the temple of God, God's temple. Because we love God. God is foremost in our lives. And David, he says, Solomon my son, whom alone God has chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord. That's, we will look at David's heart in giving. Verse 2, now I have prepared with all my heart for the house of my God. And as we know, that we are the house of God today. We are the temple of God, which we will look at it from the New Testament when we go there. But you know that we are the house of God. God has given to us the Old Testament so that we can understand the New Testament, in which the new covenant in which we belong. And the heart of giving that that wonderful man David had. He's man, woman, just like you and me. And he made a decision to look only to God, to love God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. And this man wanted to build the house of God. Just like we want to build the house of God, which is the temple of God. We are the temple of God. And we can parallel this to our heart, your heart. And I know you have this heart. David says, verse 2, now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold, things to be made of gold, and the silver for the things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistering stones and of diverse colors, and all manner of precious stones, and marble stones and in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, and I know you have the affection for the house of your God. And here, house of my God, I have of my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God over and above. That's the heart of generous giving that this man, David, had to build the house of God. We want to build this house of God, you and I. And that's why we are going to spend next several hours in God's Word, so that we understand His heart, our loving Father, and how we are to utilize our substance that God gives to us. And this man, David, his heart was joyous. He was thankful. And he wanted to give over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. This is the holy house. Even 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver, to overlay the walls of the houses withal. A talent is about 65 to 80 pounds. And if you calculate that, it is something like 1.47 to 1.82, or $2 billion. That's the giving of this man David. Look at that. We love God with all our heart, all our soul. And we can follow His heart, this man who God calls him as man after God's own heart. And verse 5, we'll look at that. The gold for things of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificer. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Question. Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribe of Israel and the captains of thousands and hundreds with the rulers of the king's work, offered willingly. David set the pattern of giving. He loved God and he gave abundantly above and all $2 billion worth of gold. And of course other things, silver, so forth. Material was not his sufficiency. He didn't love gold more than God. And obviously we don't love gold, money, dollars, our country rupees, more than God. And verse 7, and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents. Now these people also began to give. 5,000 talents. Again, big money. And 10,000 drums and of silver, 10,000 talents, and of brass, 18,000 talents, and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel Gershonite. Then, verse 9, then the people rejoiced. They were not sad. Oh, we gave too much. Oh, we are poor. What to do? No, they rejoiced for that they offered willingly. God loves us to cheerfully give, willingly give to Him. Willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David, the king, also rejoiced with great joy. And we rejoice as God's people, honor Him, and willingly give from the blessings, prosperity that God prospered us with. And verse 10, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. And we also like to say that. Forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. What a wonderful praise. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is whose? Thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Our God is great. God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, who lives, who is with us this moment, He is to be praised. We honor Him. Wonderful heart of the man, David. Verse 13, now therefore, our God, we thank Thee and praise Thy glorious name. But who am I? David says, who am I? We also say, who am I? Who am I? And what is my people? That we should be able to offer so willingly. God loves us when we give Him, offer Him willingly. Which we will see that. Not grudgingly, why we give? No. Willingly. After this sort. For all things come of Thee. What? All things come from Him. And of Thy own have we given Thee. For we are strangers before Thee. This is Israel, how they were. And once upon a time we were like strangers. We were dead, trespasses, sin, dead, nothing. We had no life. Something we can parallel this. For we are strangers before Thee and sojourners as were all our fathers, our days on the earth are as shadow, as a shadow. Okay, this is applicable to us too. Shadow. Oh, now 10 years passed, 20 years passed, 30, oh, I'm getting old. Shadow. And there is none abiding. Oh Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thine holy name comes of thy hand and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. And I know we all have that upright heart. God has made us righteous in Christ Jesus. You are righteous. You are beloved, acceptable. You have the ability to love God, to love all of the members of the body of Christ. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. That's what we are going to learn. That we are going to, with uprightness of heart, with joy, that we will willingly offer all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. This word is repeated many, many times. Willingly. God wants us to willingly give of our substance and money. Because thine, all came from thee. It's not by our strength it has come. Because of God we live, we breathe. Everything comes from God. And verse 18, Oh Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee. In this class, we are going to go to the written word. Look at this word of God, which He magnified above all His name, His word. The word of life, the word which lives and abides forever. We'll go to that word and to see God's heart, God's instruction for us to live prosperous life, to live life that is glorifying to God, and the life of reconciling man, other man, to God, because He wants all men to be saved and all men to come to the knowledge truth. And this body, His house to be built up. We are in this construction business. All of us are in this construction business to build the house of God. Build the temple of the Most High God. Now verse 19, And give unto Solomon my son a perfect heart. And that's what I desire in all of you, that we will have the perfect heart in carrying out the building up of the body of Christ, carrying out the ministry of reconciliation. To keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things and to build the palace for that which I have made provision. And we know from here David so generously above and beyond he gave. And he didn't have the Spirit of God of this administration, the promise of the Father. He was a servant of God, yet he loved God. He acknowledged Him. And he was inspired to give generously for building of the house of God. And verse 20, And David said to all the congregation, Now bless the Lord your God. And we also say, Bless the our Father. Blessed be God and Father of Lord Jesus Christ. And all the congregation congregation, bless the Lord, God of their fathers, and bow down their heads, and worship the Lord and the King. And they, the congregation, sacrifice unto the Lord, and offer burnt offerings unto the Lord on the morrow after the day, even 1,000 bullocks, 1,000 rams, and 1,000 lambs, with their drink offerings and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel. How wonderful. It would be wonderful to be at this time when David and children of Israel, they turned to the living and true God. And they were happy givers. We have this vision. They had the vision of building the temple of God. And we are today in this, right now, in building the house of God, which is the temple of the Most High God of today, which is not made by hands, not with bricks. Okay, and here, 1,000 bullocks, you know, so many things they have gave. And later on, 2 Chronicles 7:4-5, I'm going to read. Now, what Solomon offered? Here says, then the king and all the people offered sacrifice before the Lord. This is King Solomon now. I'm reading here. And King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen. Now going beyond, more and more. Our God is able to prosper us. God's way is perfect. When we follow His way, we cannot lose. You and I are going to prosper. And we will have abundance to build the house of the living God. And to carry out the ministry of reconciliation. And in this class, the objective, after reading the heart of David, and it is our heart, I'm sure, it is your heart. Here, in this seminar, we will look at the Old and the New Testament regarding tithes, offerings, cheerful giving, and proper utilization, so as to move the household of believers to action that God desires so that God's people will prosper. The gift ministries will have abundance to lead the church of God, church of God, the true temple of God, to be built up and grow mightily, and each member of the body of Christ to reach out to the world to get all men to be saved and to get all men to come to the knowledge of truth. In this study, we are going to, first of all, to study the verses and context where the word tithe appears in the Old Testament. And number two, the study of verses and context where the word tithe appears in the four Gospels and in the New Testament. And thirdly, the study of verses and context in the Old Testament and four Gospels where the scripture mentioned about cheerful, liberal giving, receiving, sharing, offering. And fourthly, the study of verses and context where the scripture mentioned about cheerful, liberal giving, receiving, sharing, and offering in the book of Acts and the seven church epistles, since the word tithe does not appear in this book. And fifthly, the study of verses and context where the scripture mentioned about cheerful, liberal giving, receiving, sharing, and offering in the personal epistles, since the word tithe does not appear in these personal epistles. So right now we are going to go and study from the Old Testament where the word tithe appears, so that we will understand regarding giving. And we will look at what God says. Not what I think, what you think, but what God says regarding this subject of generous, liberal giving. And first record where the word tithe appears is in Genesis 14:20. And in order to understand this word, this verse better, we will read from verse 1. And in this seminar, this class, we are going to read many verses. And so that we can understand, we will see how God, what God said. Okay? So now, 14:1. And it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Sinar, Arioch, king of Elasar, Chedorolamer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations, that these made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and with Birsha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, and Shemeber, king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, which is Zor. All these were joined together in the vale of Siddim, which is the Salt Sea. 12 years they served Chedorlaomer, and in the 13th year they rebelled. And in the 14th year came Chedorlaomer, and the king that were with him, and smote the Rephaims in Ashtaroth, Karnaim, and the Zuzims in Ham, and the Emims in Sheba. So many words which is very foreign to us, I think. And here, verse 6, and Horites in their Mount Seir and Elpharan, which is by the wilderness. And they returned and came to Enmishaphat, which is Kadesh, and smote all the country of Amalekites and also the Amorites that dwell in Hazazonatamar. And there went out the king of Sodom and the king of Gomorrah and the king of Admah and the king of Zeboim and the king of Bela, the same is Zor. And they joined battle with them in Vale of Siddim, with Chedorlaomer, the king of Elam, and with Tidal, king of nations, and Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elasar, four kings with five. And the Vale of Siddim was full of serpents, and the king of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there, and they that remained fled to the mountain. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victual and went their way, and they took Lot. Now comes the point here. Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And there came one that had escaped and told Abraham the Hebrew, for he dwelt in plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and brother of Aner. And these were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, that is Lot, he armed his trained servants born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheba, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which had delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he, Abram, gave him tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods of thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou should say, I have made Abram rich. Save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me, Anna, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion. Now, we will look, review this section. Here, this is the first occurrence of the word tithe in this section. When God's word gives a word for the first time, we need to pay attention to that first occurrence, because God will always give definition, gives you understanding of that word. And here, Abraham lift up his hand unto Lord, the Jehovah, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, in this difficult time to rescue the nephew Lot and Lot's family and their possession. Abraham did not go to anyone but to the Lord, the Most High God. That's the attitude of Abraham. Abraham looked only to God. And that Most High God, El Elyon, God Most High, that's how it is written. He not only knew that Jehovah was the highest God, but he made him the highest in his life. Abraham made God as the highest place, Most High, in his life and in his thinking. Furthermore, he knew God, the Most High God, as the possessor of heaven and earth. When Abraham was going to war to rescue Lot and his family, he relied on the Most High God, who could deliver the enemies into his hand. And truly, that came to pass. God never fails. When we look to God, He never fails. And Abraham worshipped and looked only to God. Circumstances was very bad, but he didn't go to any other people to ask their help, but he looked to God. He lifted his hand to the Most High God, looked to God. God, you help me in this rescue operation. And he defeated Chedorlaomer and his kings, who defeated five kings, Sodom, Gomorrah, and other kings. The king who, and four kings were defeated, they defeated five kings. So they must be quite strong. And these, Abraham and these people, 300 some souls, these people, they went and fought and defeated these four kings. And he brought back, they brought back all the spoils that Chedorlaomer and the kings took out from these five kingdoms. How much wealth one kingdom would have, or one city would have? Quite a bit, isn't it? The first occurrence of the word tithe clearly shows us with what attitude tithe was given. That is, with gratitude. Abraham, he brought back the huge spoils from these kings, four kings, that looted the five kings. It's a big, big money, value of spoils. Maybe $1 million worth of value. One kingdom could have 1 million, 10 million. In their time, in their economy, it could be 10, 1 billion? I don't know, but it's a big amount. One king, second king, third king, fourth king, five kingdoms. Jalalamar and three kings looted, took out everything, all the valuable things, and men and women, children, and Lot and his goods. They were out. Abraham looked to God, and God moved with him. Melchizedek said that God has delivered thy enemy into your hand. Our God is able. He delivers us, just like God delivered Abraham. Now Abraham, he understood that it was not of himself, his strength, that got all these goods back, and that it became his. But it was from God. God prospered his rescue operation. And he brought back incredible amount of riches. And when he met Melchizedek, who was that? The priest of the Most High God. And as well as he was the king of Salem. Abraham did not say, oh, you are a king. You have lots of money, king, so I don't need to give you. No. He gave to the king of Salem because he was the priest of the Most High God. How did Abraham knew he was to give to the priest of the Most High God? I'm sure his father, his grandfather, this knowledge was passed on that he is to give tithe of whatever God prospered to the priest of the Most High God, who blessed him by teaching him, showing the way of the one true God. And Abraham did not feel bad about it by giving the tithe of all things. Big amount. If he brought back $10 million worth of goods, then he gave $1 million. He didn't say, I don't want to depart this big amount. He was happy with the gratitude he gave the tithe of all. And when the king of Sodom, he says to Abraham, oh, give me back my people. He was not entitled or had right to ask Abraham even to get his people back. He was lost loser. the loser king. He had no right to even talk to Abraham, please return my people. Now Abraham, remember he said to that king, verse 22 of that 14, and Abraham said to the king of Salem, I have lifted up my hand, lift up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou should say, I made Abraham rich. Who makes Abraham rich? God. He believed. He knew that God makes him rich. So he said, take all these things. I don't want you to get credit later. Later on you will say, oh look, Abraham so much prospering because he took all my goods. He looked to God. See, this is the first occurrence. We see wonderful truth about tithing. That we tithe, like here Abraham tithed, because God blessed him. Why? Because he looked to God, trusted him, and God blessed him exceeding abundantly. He gave him victory against odds. Four kings and soldiers, and 300 some people from with Abraham, they defeated all these guys and brought back all these spoils because of God. Our God is able. And he says, okay, take back. Have it all. I don't want anything, not even a shoe latchet. So that's the attitude of Abraham, one who looks to God. And we are to look only to God, like Abraham. Here we are learning in this first occurrence of tithing. This word tithe appears here. We need to pay attention. The heart of Abraham regarding giving. And this same record appears in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 1 to 4. We will read that. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. First being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, and so forth. Okay. Abraham was not worse off for giving tithes to Melchizedek. He gave to this man, but he was the priest of the Most High God. He was king of Salem. He was not a poor person, but he cheerfully gave. And now we will look at Genesis 24 and 1. What happens to a man who has this kind of heart, who does not hesitate to honor God immediately, first thing, and no hesitation in departing the riches, 10%. And here, and Abraham was old and well stricken age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. That's what God's word says. The Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Not few things. 90% things. All things. So it's worth studying how Abraham believed God. How he gave, honored God. And that's why we are taking time right now in this subject of giving. Because our prosperity, our manifesting blessing in our lives is greatly connected to our free will, generous giving to God. We already read about the heart of David in giving. Now we are looking at Abraham. Genesis 24:34 and 35, I'm going to read it. And he said, I am Abraham's servant. And the Lord had blessed my master, how? Greatly. This servant, he didn't have Spirit of God. He looked at Abraham and he says, the Lord had blessed my, Lord had blessed my master greatly. He could see it. He says, he witnesses this. And he has become, what? Great. And he had given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. So what happens to a person who trusts Jehovah? This is what's going to happen. So, that's why we are learning and studying, paying attention to this record. Right now, first record where the word tithe appears. Now we look at the second record in book of Genesis, and which is very important for us to look. And we will be looking at each record where word tithe appears now from the Old Testament. The second record appears, the word tithe appears, is in Genesis 28:22 in verb form, asar. And in order to understand this section, we are going to read from verse 10 to 12. And this asar word, tithe, to tithe, appears in 28:22. Okay? And verse 10 of Genesis 28. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Wonderful promise God gives in his this dream. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep. Wow, you know, he said. And he said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I knew it not. And he was afraid. And said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, okay, supply all my needs and make me successful, that's what he's saying, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me. Who gives? God gives. Jacob also knows this truth. How does he know? His father? His grandfather? He learned from there. That God gives. And that's why he said that all that thou shalt give me, I will surely, he says, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. See, he knew about tithe, tenth giving, 10% giving. And surely, note that this record is given before the law administration. This is not in the Exodus, so forth, giving of the law, commandments of God through Moses. Before that time, they had the understanding, knowledge of giving of 10% of what God gives. They understood that it was right and good to give 10% of what God blesses. And they understood that all things come from God. All the blessings, all the prosperity comes from God. And Jacob also gave. He says, I will surely give that tenth unto thee. So we understand that we are to surely give tenth to Jehovah in response to all that He shall give him. And Abraham gave the tithe to the priest of the Most High God. And Jacob must have given to somebody. You know, I will give it to you. Oh God, take it. And leave whatever you don't need. Oh, you don't need. Not like that. So I'm sure there was someone who is working for God. So Jacob must have given to that priest of the Most High God, one who works for God. And as I mentioned, that this was before the coming of the law. Law of Moses. And Romans 7:12 says, now we are going to go into law, because from the administration of law, we will understand more aspects of tithe. And though the tithe was already present, practice of giving to God 10% was present long time before Moses gave the Ten Commandments and then law, judgment, statute, and commandments. And Romans 7:12 says, wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Law is just and good. It's not a bad thing. Just and good. And the first occurrence of the word tithe appears in Leviticus 27:30. And we will look at that. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. Holy means consecrated, hallowed unto the Lord. So we get additional information here. This tithe is Lord's. It's not mine. That's what God says. Oh, but it is in the law administration. But God gives this information. And God says in Romans 7:12 that law is holy and just and good. Okay? And it is holy. Whatever God blesses, and that 10% is, God says, holy, just. And it belongs to God. Okay, this is the information that we learn from here. And we will look at the next record, which is Leviticus 27:31, where the word tithe appears. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. Redeeming of his particular tithes is possible. It is possible, you know, in law administration. But one had to give 20% of tithe in addition to initial amount. That is, he ended up giving 12% of whole. Just the information, okay? We are reading right now, following wherever the word tithe appears. And now we look at next record, Leviticus 27:32. And concerning the tithe of the herd, or of the flock, even of the whatsoever passes under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. Not only agricultural increase, the increase of the herd and flock, God instructed them to tithe. And it is holy unto the Lord. Okay? Now we look at next record. And we will learn many, many wonderful things from this section in the Old Testament. Old Testament builds the base for understanding giving, honoring God, the heart of giving, so that the house of God may be built up, so that body of Christ can carry out the will of God to reconcile all mankind back to God. Okay, so we are therefore spending time in His Word. Numbers 18:21. Okay, this word tithe appears at Numbers 18:21, 24, 26, and verse 28. And in order to understand this section well, we will read the context. However, before going to read about this section in Numbers, I would like to explain something about offering. Because here, the offerings not only tithe but offering also appear. And I just briefly explain to you in this section regarding offerings. In the Old Testament, God's people not only tithed, but they gave offerings in addition to tithe. And there are two categories of offerings. One category is mandatory offerings, which are sin offerings and trespass offering. Okay, this category is mandatory. You have to. If you sin and you found out that you sin, then you need to give this offering for cleansing, purification from that sin. Second category is voluntary or free will offerings. And they are burnt offerings and peace offerings, meat offerings, which is also called, which is actually is a grain offering, meal offerings, okay, in other words. And also drink offerings. So these are offerings that the children of Israel were commanded to give, in addition to tithes and offerings. And these offerings they gave, especially at three festivals that children of Israel observed. God commanded the children of Israel, the male of children of Israel, to appear three times before the temple of God. And these people, they brought the offerings with them, or they changed into money if they are far away, which we will see that. And they went and offered. Okay, so, and we will, in the next session, we are going to look in detail this Numbers 18, 1 to 32, so that your eyes will be opened up. You will know that you may know that you know that you know the heart of God regarding tithes and offerings, giving, so that we may not be ignorant in this field and to be robbed of our blessings that God richly desires for us to manifest, the great blessings, that the body of Christ today may have great abundance to reach out to the world and to bring soul, abundance of new soul. As Jesus Christ said, harvest is great, but laborers are few. And we want the laborers. And God has set how the finance, how the substance and money is to be handled by each member of body of Christ. And we are going to look at Numbers 18:1 and 32 in the next session. Okay?